Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryan over there. There's Jerry. And this is Stuff You Should Know.
That's right.
Amazing animal edition.
That's right. That will partially delight you. And if you're an animal lover, should partially horrify you at times.
If you don't like animals,
then you're probably not going to listen.
I don't know. You could be like, you probably wouldn't listen.
Amazing animal stories. Skip.
But who would do that?
One star.
Yeah. So we're talking animals today. And like we said, not just animals, amazing animals, because animals are great to talk about. We've talked about octopi and duck-billed platypi and
have we
elephant eye.
Did we do the platypus?
I believe we have.
Okay.
Almost positive.
All
if
right.
not, it's due. So animals are fun to talk about. It's even more fun to talk about animals that are accomplished.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, I was at the playground the other day, and my daughter was playing with another little girl, which is kind of one of the fun things about kids. They just immediately bond with another kid.
And the girl turned out to be a bear cub.
I wish. No, this girl smashed a ladybug and said, yay. Mm. And the parents weren't around. I was there, and I was horrified. And my daughter said, that wasn't nice. You shouldn't kill animals.
Good for her.
Good for you.
That's great.
And then this girl stomped an anthill.
Girl's got issues.
Yeah. And you know what? She found another ladybug, and I said, don't touch that ladybug.
Yeah.
She said, why not? I said, because you killed the last one.
Yeah.
And I, like, felt fine, like, admonishing this child that was not mine.
Did you wait until she turned around and clapped by her ear to really startle her to drive it home?
No, but she did trip later on, and under my breath, I went, karma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fine.
She was fine.
And then above your breath, you went, ha-ha.
That's right. Above my
kid.
Breath.
Yeah.
By the way, with Mike the Headless Chicken, which we're going to start out with, I couldn't remember how this existed in the annals of Stuff You Should Know, because I knew it did, mm-hmm. and I thought it might have been one of our dumb videos, but it turns out it was one of our great videos.
Which one?
It was, you did a dumb, don't be dumb on this.
But surely we've talked about Mike before.
I thought we might have, but Don't Be Dumb was the only thing that came up, and it was great.
Weird. Well, thank you very
sure.
much. We've done some cool videos together, though. Remember this day in history where, like, we veered off into, like, conjuring Satan for a little while,
I
and,
like
we
this.
Ended up in a different dimension, and I thought those were great.
So silly.
Anyway, okay. So, like you said, we're talking about Mike the Headless Chicken first.
That's right, which September 1945, if you were in Colorado and you happened to live near the Olsons, Lloyd and Clara.
In Fruta, Colorado.
Yeah, Fruta. Do you know where that is?
It's by Grand Junction, which I think is...
Do you know where that is? I feel like I've been...
West Colorado.
Okay.
Like on the way to like all those amazing national parks.
Colorado's very varied.
Mm-hmm.
You think of Colorado as just being this amazing mountainous state, which it is in parts, but they're also like plains and
yeah.
all sorts of stuff.
That's where canyon...
There's an ocean right in the middle of it.
Right. That's where Canyon... National Park or Canyonland, Arches.
Candyland?
That's where the guy cut off his own arm in 127 hours, Mr.
Oh,
James Franco did.
Sure, yeah. So the Olsons were farmers, and they were killing birds. Lloyd would cut the heads off of these chickens, and his wife would clean them up because, after all, it was 1945.
Right.
That's kind of how the division of labor went back then. And he would go in and sell these chickens at the market. And he went to gather up all the chickens, and he got to one with no head that was still alive. Mm-hmm. And he went, "What in tarnation?"
That's right. That's a direct quote.
"You should be dead."
I saw that for this one in particular, he aimed to preserve the neck as much as possible. So he just took off the head.
Yeah,
right?
he did a good job, I guess.
Because I think his mother-in-law was coming over for dinner, and she liked fried chicken necks. So he was trying to give her a fried chicken neck, just taking the head off. The thing is, this one was still alive, and not still alive in the way that a chicken will run around with its head cut off, like everybody knows.
Yeah, he was just being a chicken.
Yeah, so he did that. He ran around like a chicken with his head cut off, but then he stopped and he started like pecking at the ground with his stump. He started preening himself.
Yeah.
Basically acting like he still had a head and like he wasn't planning on dying anytime soon.
That's right. So Lloyd said, "Let me put you in this this apple box overnight, and just I assume we'll get up in the morning and you'll be dead then.
God will take his vengeance on you over the night. I won't have to do anything more."
Like, you consider it a coffin, basically.
Right.
And he woke up in the morning, and this chicken was still alive, a rooster, technically. So
he said, "What's for breakfast?"
So he took this thing to that meat market just to show everyone, like, "You got to see this."
Sure.
This is what anyone would have done, I think. And then the word starts to spread. Everyone was amazed at this headless chicken. Word starts to spread around Fruta. Mm-hmm. Why do I have a bad feeling we're pronouncing that wrong? Is there any other way you could pronounce that?
Fruita?
Yeah.
That could be it. I mean, in Georgia, they call Cairo, Cairo.
That's true.
And Vienna for Vienna.
That's right.
Woof.
So, yeah, did you just woof?
Yeah.
So he takes this rooster. Everyone is quite impressed, of course, at this headless chicken, and word spread around about what was going on there. And that eventually attracts the attention, of course, to a sideshow promoter who said, "This chicken is dynamite. I don't think you know what you have on your hands here."
Yeah. You rube, you hayseed.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go into business together is what he said.
Totally.
So this guy, his name was Hope Wade. I kept waiting for him to turn into like an underhanded, devious kind of guy.
Yeah.
Because he was a 1940s sideshow promoter. He seemed to have been fine. Passed all the great tests.
Exploiting all the right humans and animals.
he was just in it for the love of the game from what I could tell.
Okay.
So he gets together, Hope Wade, the circus sideshow promoter, gets together with Lloyd and Clara, and they start touring the country with Mike the Chicken. But first, I don't understand why they did this. Maybe just to make the whole thing even more bona fide, I'm not sure. They went to Salt Lake City, and we should note that Hope Wade traveled from Salt Lake City to Fruita. I think that's what we're going to go with, okay?
Okay.
Which was like 300 miles in the 40s, the 1940s. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy distance to travel back then.
No.
And because he heard about a headless chicken.
Right.
But think about like what he was putting on the line with that. Let's say it took him 4 days to get there. Mm-hmm. He could have been doing any number of things those 4 days. The chicken could have died while he was on the way there.
That's
and
true.
Yet it didn't, and he made it there, and he became a business partner with the Olsons.
He had a hunch, and he went with his gut,
yep,
and it paid off.
So the first thing he did, was to take them back to Salt Lake City and introduce them to some scientists there.
That's right. So the scientists did a lot of tests. They apparently, we don't know this for sure, tried to do this surgically to some other chickens just to see if it worked, I guess.
And Mike was like, stop, what are you doing?
Life magazine showed up and ran a story in 1945 called "Beheaded Chicken Lives Normally After Freak Decapitation by Axe." No, it wasn't a freak decapitation. It was very purposeful.
Yeah, but I think they were saying like it was freak in that he survived having his head chopped off.
Maybe they should have said freaky decapitation.
Sure. But that's when Mike got huge.
That's right. Of course. Life magazine was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. I think Time eventually did one on him. And like, it's really hard to overstate how big of a deal Mike the Headless Wonder Chicken, I think is what they ultimately finally dubbed him, became in the United States. Like he was, people would come from far and wide to go see him whenever he came to town.
I mean, once it hit the internet, it was like wildfire.
Well, that's what Life magazine was basically back then.
Yeah, that's true. So they all went to California and Arizona. Then Hope, you know, they had to go back to the farm at some point. Right. Lloyd and Clara did. So Hope toured the Southeast, which I bet it was just like gangbusters in the Southeast.
Sure.
You know?
I looked up when he came to Atlanta, because surely he came to Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find anything about it.
Oh, that's because he went to Terminus.
Right.
It was pre-Atlanta.
Yeah.
They started getting letters. They started getting fan mail.
And hate mail.
Yeah. Some people compared them to Nazis, which I don't get that at all.
I think...
Experimentation, maybe?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Kind of Mengele-esque. Mengele-esque.
Yeah.
I combined ish and esque together.
That's a nice new trend.
Completely messed it up is another way to put it.
I think we should start using that from now on.
Esh?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
They got a letter from Alaska saying, can you swap out Mike's drumstick and put in a wooden leg and just keep this party going?
Only in Alaska.
Very funny people there.
And they were so, they became so well known, especially around Fruita. I hope that's it. Because if so, we're the only outsiders to ever pronounce it correctly.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, not. Yeah.
I know.
Sorry.
So Fruita, they became so well known there that people would write letters to the owners of the Headless Chicken. And that was it on the outside of the envelope.
Yeah, right.
And it would show up at the Olson's door in their mailbox.
Yeah, the good old days.
So everything's going quite swimmingly for him. They made a lot of money off of Mike. He actually lived for 18 months without a head.
Yeah.
And like there's pictures of him standing there, standing up without a head and his little head's down by his feet.
Yeah, you can see this stuff.
Yeah, it's on the internet. Go check it out. It's on the current Life magazine. The internet, the worldwide life.
Yeah, I did some, you know, of course, the calculation, the inflation calculation. They were pulling in modern day money, about $64,000 a month. Back then it was $4,500. And they said,
can you imagine?
That Mike was valued in modern money at $142,000 or $10,000 back then.
Yeah.
So they upgraded their farm equipment.
Yeah, they bought a new pickup truck.
That thing is sweet. Did you look up the 46 Chevy pickup?
No, but I'm pretty sure I know what it looks like.
Oh, man, they're nice.
Yeah. They made a lot. They went from like being poor Colorado farmers to pretty well-off Colorado farmers. They've been using like a mule and a wagon before to go to town. Now they're driving in their brand new Chevy pickup truck. So that, like, it was really good for them that Mike managed to live after they cut his head off. But while he was alive, they managed to study him and figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, so it's, to be fair, it's a little more accurate to say Mike the Faceless Chicken.
Okay.
Although when you look at a picture, it looks like the head is completely gone. But what happened was he cut off he accident, you know, this is all by accident, of course.
Remember, he's trying to preserve as much of the neck as possible.
Yeah, which he did because he left the back of the head on there, and apparently these chickens, most of the brain function and the brain itself is a little further back.
Tucked back into the neck.
Yeah, so the brain lived. That's why this chicken was able to walk around and be a chicken.
And he definitely took a slice off of the brain.
Oh, sure.
But I think this one guy in this one BBC article by Chris Stokel Walker, the chicken that lived for 18 months without a head, there's really no wrong headline you can have when you're writing about Mike the Headless Chicken. He basically says probably about 80% of the brain was left over. You know, everything that controlled breathing,
right.
Heartbeat, digestion, all that stuff. And so all they were left with was figuring out how to keep Mike alive. He still needed food. Even though he didn't have a head or a face or anymore, he still needed food. So the Olsons would actually feed him with an eyedropper, a milk and water combination. They would give him little grounds of corn.
Right into the esophagus.
Right into the esophagus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he got phlegmy or if a little bit of corn got backed up or stuck in there, they would use a syringe to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike lived this way for 18 months. He actually went from 2.5 pounds to 8 pounds.
Yeah.
without a head.
Mike thrived. The big question was like, which I had the whole time, was why didn't this thing just bleed out?
Right.
Because it, you know, it had his head cut off.
Right.
And the science thinks, you know, it just a quick blood clot just kind of took care of it.
Yeah. Science went, God.
Yeah, sure.
It was gone.
So there's kind of a sad ending. Of course, Mike is eventually going to die. You would hope that Mike just died of old age.
He did not.
But when they were in Arizona, they woke up to the sound of a chicken choking. And Clara said,
"Even Jerry.
Is that you?" And her husband was like, "It's not me this time. Uh-huh. It's Mike."
Right.
And sadly, Mike was had expired because they left the syringe behind that would clear that esophagus.
Yeah, at the last sideshow they'd been at. And this was a
fatal,
fatal
mistake.
It was, which is really sad for Mike. He choked to death on a piece of corn.
Oh, my God.
But they also watched their main source of incredible income.
Wealth.
Just choked to death on a piece of corn because they left the syringe back at the fairgrounds.
What a crazy story.
So in this BBC article, Troy Waters, who is the great-grandson of Lloyd and Clara Olson, he said that his great-grandfather told him this whole story. And for years, basically for decades, would never fess up to Mike dying on him. He said he sold him off to a sideshow promoter.
Yeah.
And he finally fessed up before his death that Mike had choked on a piece of corn and that that was that.
What an amazing story.
An amazing animal story.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and come back with another right after this.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky.
Okay, we're back, everybody.
Amazing animal story number two.
And this this one is the one that is pretty horrifying in some ways, but also cute, but also horrifying.
I honestly don't know what's horrifying.
All right, well, I'll point it out when we get to it.
I know it's horrifying.
This is the story of Wojtek the Bear, and I believe you got a lot of this stuff from Time Magazine and Atlas Obscura and what else?
Another Atlas Obscura.
Oh, okay. Wow, they doubled up on this one?
They did.
for good reason, because it's a pretty amazing story about an animal.
And there's two different memorials you can visit.
That's true.
So Wojtek the bear, Wojtek is a Polish name, which is odd for a Syrian brown bear found motherless in Iran, Persia at the time. I don't think it was Iran then. Yeah.
1940s?
Yeah, World War II changed a lot of geography and boundaries and country names.
Boy, you're telling me.
Right. So a Polish name for a Syrian brown bear is a little odd until you know the background behind this whole thing. So before we get to the bear, we have to talk a little bit about why there were Polish soldiers in Persia in the 1940s.
Well, because of the war.
Okay. So now we talk about the brown bear.
Yeah, specifically the 22nd Transport Company Artillery Division in the Polish 2nd Corps. They were fighting in World War II, and on April 8th, they find this little cub in the mountains of Iran.
Well, there was a boy who had found it, and they traded him for it.
What'd they trade?
They traded some coins, some chocolate, a Swiss Army knife, and a can of beef.
Hey, not bad.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it depends on how the beef is prepared.
Right.
You know?
I bet it was some kind of a jerky.
Okay.
You know, that travels well.
Sure.
So, by the way, I've finally gotten over my beef jerky reticence because, I don't know, years ago when I lived in Los Angeles, I ate moldy beef jerky one night when I was up late.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I didn't mean to. I came home from the bar afterward and I was just eating in the dark in front of the TV. I was like, this tastes funny. And I turned on the light, and it was just covered in blue mold, and I vomited, and I literally haven't had beef jerky in like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
But I'm back on it.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And a good snack, as it turns out.
It is. I have some right here if you want it.
No, I'm good. Okay. I know you're a jerky enthusiast. Yeah. So April 8th, they find this bear, trade it with the boy, and they were Polish prisoners of war who were being moved from Siberia, from a prison there, or a gulag, to Egypt. And they got this bear and basically were like, this is our little baby now.
Yeah. And just one more thing. So this this army, this Polish division of soldiers, had been captured by the Soviets and held as prisoners of war.
Yeah.
But after Germany turned on the Soviet Union, the Soviets sided with the Allies. And part of that siding was to release these Polish soldiers to form a military unit known as Anders Army.
Look at you.
Okay.
All right.
And then now they have a brown bear in their possession, a little bear cub.
That's right. And as you could imagine, these soldiers who had been away from their families and their own children adopted this little baby bear as their own. And here's the part that's terrible is he did certain tricks, like if they offered him a cigarette, he would take a puff on it and then eat it.
Right.
And that's awful.
Yeah. Eat a lit cigarette.
Yeah. You should not do that to an animal.
No.
Or let it drink beer from a bottle.
Well, that's pretty hilarious, actually. So a bear drinking a beer from a bottle, and this is what one of the people who were there said, that Wojtek would drink the beer from the bottle, and when it was empty, he would hold the bottle up and look into the opening to see where the beer went.
Right.
Because he wanted more.
Hysterical.
I think it's hilarious.
Other things that would happen there is Wojtek would drink a lot of water because you were in Egypt, of course. It was very hot. He would chase after these oranges that they use for grenade practice.
Yeah.
He would break into the shower so he could drink that water, which was a problem because they were rationing water.
Yeah, because they were in Egypt. It's a little scarce outside of the Nile.
That's right.
So he just basically became the mascot for this artillery unit.
Yeah.
Like just through and through. They loved this bear so much. And he loved them right back. There was well, just a real mascot thing going on.
Yeah, and even when it came to battle, there are rules that say you can't have a bear in war.
Yeah, it's pretty much...
Can't have any pets.
Unstated.
And so they said, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to enlist this bear and give him an official number and rank, Private Wojtek, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Wojtek, by the way, means joyful warrior. I don't think we said that.
No.
And so this was now an official... soldier of sorts that allowed them to skirt the rules of war.
Yeah, he was a private in the Second Corps. I mean, like, that's... And then, okay, well, then you can come along.
Yeah, see, I thought this was pretty terrible, too. bringing a bear along to the front lines?
Well, so most of the time when he was in the front lines or anywhere with them, his main role, aside from mascotting, was they trained him to just kind of sit in the cab of a truck so to guard it, to protect it, keep anyone from stealing
it. I bet that works.
Works pretty well, I would guess.
Yeah.
Well, during this battle of Monte Cassino in Italy, he was there on the front lines guarding trucks and supposedly started carrying crates and artillery during this battle.
Yeah.
There's no photo documentation of it. There's plenty of pictures of Wojtek and the Polish Second Corps hanging out, doing their thing, wrestling, having fun. There's no pictures from this battle, but there are witnesses who say, yeah, this 600-pound, 6-foot-tall brown bear was walking around carrying a crate of artillery shells. Were they spent? Were they new? Were they unused?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But he was definitely doing that. That's the story about Wojtek.
Yeah, I say get that bear away from the field of battle.
Sure.
That's just my opinion. But I'm sure everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, sadly, the war would end. And everyone is like, well, what are we going to do with this bear? It's like when you get a bear with a significant other and you break up or you know, like who's going to take the bear?
Sure.
You fight over the bear. Everyone wanted the bear, of course. Wojtek was beloved. And they said, well, here's what we don't want to do is send him back to Poland because, you know, the Soviets love their bear insignias and they'll just scoop him up as a symbol for communism.
Yeah, and after the Yalta Conference, Poland went behind the Iron Curtain. That was that. And so these Polish fighters who had been fighting for Polish freedom got the exact opposite at the end of World War II, and they're like, you're not taking our bear. You're certainly not going to make him a symbol of communism, like you were saying.
Yeah, and they were fighting with the Allies and the Brits by this point, so they ended up, I think Wojtek ended up in Scotland because of that.
Yeah, with this the 22nd Artillery Regiment, they ended up in Scotland around Edinburgh, and so he was with them when the war ended, and their status was kind of up in the air, too.
Yeah.
They all decided to live in exile, and Wojtek lived with them, and he eventually went to the Edinburgh Zoo and became one of the most popular attractions at the zoo for years.
Yeah, and was just sort of like in the army, was a part of the community. Apparently, they would take him around to kids' parties. He would go to concerts and dances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just a beloved bear.
He knew how to yell free bird at inappropriate times. Amazing bear.
At the age of 22, sadly, Wojtek would die in 1963. I don't know about how old bears are, but that seems like a decent life for a bear.
How old?
22?
Sure.
But they think partially why this bear died was because of damage to his esophagus from that cute little cigarette trick that they would play.
Isn't that awful?
Yes, it is.
So there's a woman named Orr. Her last name is Orr.
Eileen Orr.
She wrote Wojtek the Bear, Polish War Hero. There's a colon in there. You can figure out where it goes. And she said that she lives in this farm that Wojtek lived in Scotland right before he was moved to the zoo. And his claw marks are still on some of those trees.
Wow.
Which that would be quite a sight to see.
Amazing.
Yep. I thought so too.
Is that all you got on Wojtek?
That sure is, Chuck.
All right, we're going to take our final break and come back with a tale of another animal adopted by the military right after this.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's rainwater. Sip the sky. Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
Okay, so final amazing animal story. Yet another animal adopted by a military unit. This was not a bear in Poland, though. This was a very cute dog, a St. Bernard, Bamse, B-A-M-S-E, that was adopted by the Royal Norwegian Navy during World War II.
That's right. And he kind of got drafted along with his owner, who's a guy named Lieutenant Erling Hafto.
Great name.
And Erling Hafto was a harbor master in a town called Honningsvåg on the Magaroya Island.
You're really going for it, huh?
I don't think I got that last one right. In Norway, right? The north coast of Norway. And so Bamse would just kind of like hang out with Lieutenant Hafto. He was like the family dog. Mm-hmm. And very early on, he became beloved, at least with the Hafto family, when little Vigdis Hafto, the three-year-old daughter, fell ill. And apparently Bamse would not leave her side for like this whole 12 days when she was at death's door until she recovered.
Yeah, so they thought, this dog is good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know if they thought it healed her daughter.
Probably not.
Or their daughter, but sure. But they thought it was certainly a good omen.
And at the very least, an exceedingly loyal dog.
Yeah, and this was in 38. In 39, World War II breaks out. And so Hafto was called to active duty. And this is, you know, something, if you've seen the movie Dunkirk, they would take, you know, civilian ships and basically make them into warships, and not necessarily like battleships, but bring them into active duty as well. Mm-hmm. And so they gave him a whaling ship called the Thorod, with two Ds, and said, you are now a coastal patrol boat and you are a patrol boat captain.
Right. So he was part of the Norwegian army. And as a ship's dog, which Bamse was, he was the ship's dog already, when he was entered into the log, he became part of the Norwegian Royal Navy himself.
That's right.
So he was Bamse, sea dog of the Royal Norwegian Navy, right?
That's right. Where did you find this stuff, by the way?
Oh, this this came from Famous Dogs in History.
I loved it. That's probably one of your favorite websites.
Yeah, and then Kit and Morgan Benson had something on Find a Grave, and then there are some other ones I've seen. So Bamse and Lieutenant Hafto are just kind of hanging out, doing their thing, coastal patrolling on the Thorod. And it's not just the two of them, but Lieutenant Hafto is in charge of the Thorod, and there's this whole crew, and they're starting to love Bamse, like, more and more and more.
Of course.
Eventually, the Nazis invade Norway. Cue the booing. And the Norwegian king says, everybody, let's get out of here. We're going to go form a government in exile in the UK.
Right. Let's go to Scotland.
Specifically Scotland. Everybody regroup there. And so the Thorod and Captain Lieutenant Hafto were put in charge of minesweeping around Dundee, Scotland. That was their thing now, keeping the UK safe.
Yeah, and just like, it's very similar to the Wojtek story in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They both ended up in Scotland.
They were like an hour and a half car drive apart from one another at the same time.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
So just like with the Wojtek story, Bamse becomes beloved by the town, goes on the pub crawls, would sit at the bar. Apparently there was one story where there was a cat sitting on the seat that was usually occupied by the dog. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bamse comes in and is like, get out of here, cat.
Yeah.
That's my seat.
And not only did he go to the bar just to hang out, he went to the bar to drink beer with his fellow sailors.
Again, boo.
Drank beer out of a bowl. It's not good for a dog, but kind of hilarious still. But he was also kind of the DD because he was well known for going to the bars and the pubs to get his sailors back to the ship before a curfew so they wouldn't get in trouble.
That's right. He learned how to open doors. He wore a little hat, which is very cute. You can see picture of this.
Yeah.
The little sailor's cap.
So once he learned to open doors, he could visit like all the businesses all around the harbor.
Oh, yeah. People are just like, come on in.
After he learned to open doors, he learned to ride the bus.
Yeah, they gave him a bus pass that he wore around his neck.
Yes.
That is super cute.
But not only that, Chuck, what makes it even cuter is Bumsa would go to the bus stop and sit there and wait.
Yeah.
And the bus drivers would stop and let him on. And he would climb up to the top deck and sit there and like look out and be like, hey, I'm Bumsa.
So great.
Good to meet you.
So I think you said that he was he ended up being good luck still to these soldiers. He was. There were more than one instance where Bumsa would either break up a fight or foil some sort of crime. Mm-hmm. There was one soldier who was getting mugged, and Bumsa came up and attacked the mugger. One guy went overboard. I think he was kind of drunk at the end of the night and fell in the water. Mm-hmm. And Bumsa jumped in and, you know, barked and barked and then kept this guy afloat until they could rescue him.
Yeah, like saved at least two men's life.
Pretty great.
He also was extraordinarily brave when the Thorod would be out patrolling and take fire from German planes.
Yeah,
he would sit next to the tail gunner, I guess, on the tail of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it. And with the little helmet, a little steel helmet on his head.
Yeah, there's pictures of that.
And
too.
Just sit there and probably point with his paw like there's one over there.
I can't imagine the sound. I guess it just didn't bother him.
Yeah, and he would not leave the gunner's side until the attack had been
till all the Nazis were dead.
Yeah.
So
he'd swim out to the down planes and chew the throats out of the wounded. He was a full service sea dog.
So at one point, this dog was transferred. Oh, I'm sorry. The owner was transferred to another ship. And everybody was like, no, 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 you're not taking Bumsa with you.
Yeah, he was going to. And they're like, no. Like,
this dog's staying here.
He's like, I'm the captain.
Yeah, and the dad of the dog.
Said, nope, he belongs to this ship.
Yeah, and that town. And that's what happened. They left him there, which was the right. And it was temporary, of course. It's not like it was just for a few months.
You're right.
So they were eventually reunited.
So Bumsa is like this beloved sea dog, not just in this town of Dundee. I think it was actually Montrose, Scotland, but all over the UK, and basically became like the mascot of the entire Norwegian Royal Navy.
Yeah.
He was beloved, is a really good way to put it. He was known as a peacemaker, a lifesaver, very brave, very sweet. And so when he died, it was a big, big deal. He was only something like, I think,
seven
years old.
Yeah, 1944, you know, these St. Bernards, those bigger dogs, have a little shorter lifespan, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But a pretty good 7 years, and the whole town came out in a big way.
Yeah, they canceled school so the school children could attend his funeral.
That's amazing.
They gave him a funeral with full military honors. His casket was draped in the Norwegian flag.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big deal. Soldiers came from all over the place. The town just basically stopped that day to attend Bumps's funeral.
That's right. Over 1,000 sailors and villagers attended this funeral.
Pretty great.
And I think does this one have two statues or was that Wojtek?
Wojtek has two statues, one in Krakow and one in Edinburgh. And then Bumsa has one in, I believe, in Dundee, Scotland. And then the other one is going to be in Norway. I don't know if they've raised it yet.
And then in 2006, too, the story gets even better because Bumsa was awarded posthumously, of course, the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals gold medal as the animal's version of the George's Cross or the George Cross.
Right. And who accepted it on his behalf?
Vigdis, the little girl who was on death's door until she got those sweet, sweet St. Bernard licks.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Amazing. Well, that's it for Amazing Animals, everybody. If you want to know more about Amazing Animals, just go start reading about them. It will turn your day around.
Or just walk outside and look around.
Yeah, go kiss your closest animal. How about that?
Yeah.
And since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
Kudos, guys, on the MH370 podcast. We got, that must have been a good one. We got a lot of good response from that one.
Yeah.
As well as other people that were like, aviation's tough, and you guys did an okay job.
I didn't see any of those.
Yeah, there were a couple of those technical details, but I think we told a good story in the end.
Okay.
I live in Kuala Lumpur and have even flown on MH370 before this incident.
That's so creepy.
You covered this one really well and handled the cultural issues well, too. Really appreciate that you reached a conclusion in a logical, well-reasoned, and unbiased manner. This includes your reference to other suicide flights like the Silk Air flight. You are spot on. Malaysia is not interested in the truth in this case and are happy to see this as an act of God, hence the prayer they show on every single flight since. Yes, they put a prayer on the screen before every takeoff, asking God to bless the flight. As Westerners, we will never understand this fatalistic approach, as we can see a real cause for this terrible event that they prefer to pass off as God's will. This rift between how we think about it and how they think about it is real. I don't mean to be bigoted or anything, but I have lived in this culture for 40 years now and understand that people do think differently. My wonderful wife that is from here even agrees with this assessment. So well done, guys. It's one of your best podcasts, well-researched and well-presented, calling it as it is, sadly. Cheers, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. That was nice of him.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't have anything to add.
Great.
If you want to get in touch with us like Pete did, thanks again, Pete. You can go to stuffyoushouldknow.com and look for our social links there. And you can also send us an email to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.